Warning, this podcast has stories of real-life events and true crime that happens every day. These stories may contain adult language and graphic or disturbing details not suitable for everyone. Listener discretion is advised. In our society, most people are content to go through their daily lives safely and peacefully. But our society is not always safe or peaceful. For that reason, some men and women answer a higher calling to defend and protect their fellow man. You probably know someone who is one of these people, or maybe you are one of these people. The ones who see and do the things most people would never want to. These things are sometimes heroic and beautiful, but often they are horrific and terrifying. It's these things they don't share about with other people. It's these things they carry with them, so you don't have to. But when they get together, they talk to each other about them. And they call these stories war stories. Welcome to another episode of War Stories. I'm Tom.
And I'm Chuck.
How are you, my dude? It's time for you to get opened up, I guess, huh?
Yeah, I'm going to get opened up hard by my doctor. No, my doctor. Yeah, no, I went to go see the doctor on the checkup, and they were supposed to do an injection in my knee, and I was completely 100% against it because the last one didn't work. So he came in, and the nurse was, I was like, no, I don't want the injection. Let me see the doctor. And she's like, okay. Went back. I could hear her talking outside. Doctor comes in. He's like, hey, that injection worked last time? I said, no. And then I showed him a photo of my knee, like in the evening time, because it was like 8 o'clock in the morning. And he was like, holy shit, that's your knee? And I was like, yeah. And it's swollen in my thigh, in my quad. And so he's like, man, all right, well, I'm not going to give you that injection because if the last one didn't work, this one's not going to work. I have my PT guy saying, I can't do any more therapy with you. You need surgery. Your shit keeps giving out. This isn't working. Then the doc's finally like, all right, well, I guess we're going to have to do surgery.
He's like, go in and take a look around.
Straight up told me, he's like, I don't have a surgical plan for you.
Wow.
I'm like, okay. He's like, I don't know what's wrong with your knee. He goes, there could be a tear. There could be. He's like, it's only 85% accurate. He's like, you could have a hole in your knee. And he's like, oh, and by the way, if you have a hole in your knee, it's two surgeries, not one. And I was like, so I'm going from zero surgery to one surgery to possibly two surgeries.
Right.
Which is completely ridiculous. I don't know what the fuck's going on. But that's going to be in a week.
Well, we had a successful giveaway.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was good. Went well. So I hope everybody, did everybody get to see, I hope everybody understands that's the new patch design. The FAFO is the new patch design.
Yeah. And possibly a new sticker design. I think though, yes, for that patch design, because of how pricey it is, we're going to have to do some pre-orders on it.
We might.
Yeah. But, that would be a good pre-order. I mean, it's going to get hype it up too. Whatever.
Yeah, exactly. Get hype. But I've been looking forward to, speaking of looking forward to things like patches, been looking forward to this episode that you've been working on scheduling. And I want to introduce our guest for this episode, Jane Doe. And let me talk about how much I love that alias, because Jane Doe works in the coroner's office.
So ironic.
So
creative. Jane,
welcome,
right,
to the show. I know I love it. I think it's,
thanks,
awesome
for having me. Yeah, I'm excited. Yeah. It's my first podcast. Never done one before, so I'm excited.
Now you know Chuck in the real world.
Yes.
As far as like you've met before, right? So.
Oh yeah, we're tight. We go back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so you are you're a coroner on, we'll say, the West Coast of
West Side till I die.
Yeah. That's funny.
And let me tell you, I was not expecting, because I worked with all the deputy coroners, so those were, mm-hmm, all the coroners were deputies, and I would have been willing to call the coroner more often if the coroner had been as pretty as Jane here.
Thank you.
That's a nice little bonus. Oh
man, I get a lot of attention in my van though. So
I'll bet.
It's kind of rough out there in the streets.
Right. Well, I'm sure you show up and you probably show up and people are like, is the coroner here? And you're like, yes. You're like,
what?
They're like, where?
Well, my uniform, they say, they look at me like, okay, whatever. She's wearing this uniform. Let's go.
Right. Right.
I'm going to tell you those coppers and those fire guys. Well, fire's never really going to see you. It's always the coppers.
Yeah. Sometimes fire. If we can't get somebody out of a car, like, cause they had already left. I've had to call fire back twice for two different things. So I've seen them.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Again, like, those coppers are going to give so much tension.
Oh yeah, for sure. For sure. And then the second you stick that thermometer in the liver, they're going to be like, nope, I'm out.
Yeah. So that's always a running joke. We don't even do that anymore.
Really?
What?
Okay.
Yeah, well, we don't do that anymore, but we're trying to bring it back. It's pretty old school. We're trying to bring it back because it's so popular. Like, everyone asks, like, oh, are we going to have to do that? But no, we don't do it anymore.
That shit's so gross.
It is gross.
It's funny. It gets mentioned a lot. Like, we should just have it be brought back.
That's probably like one of the only things that TV has ever really portrayed, like, the coroner's office is doing correctly. So, you know,
right.
That's right. Why it's so popular. It's the only actual thing.
When they do it on TV, they need to accentuate that popping sound, almost like you're sticking a fucking injector into a turkey. It pops when you hit that lever.
Yeah.
Anyway. So you've been working for the coroner's office for how long now?
So I'm still a freshie, about 8 months now. Before that, I was a mortician for about 8 years. So kind of same deal, but different and way more exciting.
As a mortician, it's more exciting? Or
No, coroner.
Okay.
Coroner. Yeah. So it's way better.
Let me ask then, how does one become a mortician and then ultimately subsequently a coroner? Was mortician just a job to kind of get your feet wet, so to speak, while you got your education? Or
no, so I specifically went after college. I got my bachelor's in health science, and after college I went straight into mortuary school to become that, to get my funeral director's license and everything. So I already had my bachelor's before. I wanted to go into the funeral business in preparation to be in the coroner business, like to go that side. So I kind of did that first and just like got my feet wet, made sure that, you know, I liked working with dead bodies and all that stuff. Stayed there a little bit longer than I would have hoped, but it took me 3 years to get into the coroner's office.
Yeah, I remember.
So, wow. Yeah. That was my plan.
Is
all
it
along.
Because it's a coveted position, or is it because people don't leave very
hard.
Often?
People don't leave. Yeah. Like, people retire there. They have, you know, the budgets, as you know, it's hard to, you know, get that going. And once the job posts, so many people apply, it's really hard. So, but I'm here now.
Well, you know, I mean, bartenders,
it's happening.
Doctors, coroners, this is a job that never goes away.
Yeah. I'm super stable. Yep.
Your clients are literally dying to meet you.
They are.
I did that. I said it.
You did it.
That's a fucking knee slapper. It's so corny.
Wait, for a minute, I guess I thought this was the other podcast.
No, it's funny.
So you knew you wanted to get into being a coroner, and I'll ask the obvious. How did you decide, or what made you decide that you wanted to go be an Emmy or a...
Let
me ask you
really...
this. Is there a difference between a coroner and an Emmy?
Not really. I mean, it's kind of the same. Yeah. There's different like levels to it. Like, of course, I'm not like a doctor doing the autopsies and stuff like that, but it's all kind of the same.
Okay. So go ahead. So what made you...
So I don't know if there's any like specific thing that made me like want to do that. I just know that ever since I was little, whenever like I'd pass accidents, my head would be out the window, like, where is the body? I need to see the body. Like, I was so fascinated, like, with
I get it.
Like, autopsies, surgeries, anything. But I'll tell you this, if I see somebody that's living and has their arm like broken and bleeding everywhere, I run the other way. I cannot deal with it if you are living and breathing. But if you are dead and your body's just plastered all over the sidewalk, I'm cool. Like, let's go.
That's,
It's very strange.
And that's a natural innate ability.
It's like so weird. It's like, I know, I don't know. I just can't deal the screaming and the, oh, if someone's hurt, I'm like, oh gosh, I can't, like, I could never be a nurse. I can never do any of that.
Okay.
But
so
I picked up brain matter from the street and put, you know, bones together and do all that. That's no problem for me. Yeah. Weird, right?
But no, because I can somewhat relate. So I've dealt with, you know, obvious all kinds of traumas. You know, a cop, you get out there and you deal with people,
right?
Blood and guts and all that stuff. If it's like me or my kids or my wife, I get cold sweats, my hands get clammy, you know, and I'm like, okay, and I stay calm and I handle the situation, but it turns my stomach. Whereas when I'm out on the street and I'm, you know, doing the job and it's people I don't care about, I don't have any problems with it. I'm just like,
yeah. Hey, so I
hold
could
your
get
face
that
on like this. It's fine.
Right. So it's like that.
I'm super comfortable when it comes to people with broken limbs, gunshot wounds, whatever. A fresh dead body, I'm cool with. Like, you can have brain matter coming out, you're fresh, like a gunshot victim, whatever. I'm straight. Your shit's bleeding, it's popped. I'll put a tourniquet on you. I'll do all that. The moment you're sitting there and your rigor is set in, you've got, you know, lividity is set in, all the blood's pulled into one area, and you got to touch this. No,
you're good.
I'm out.
I'm out.
You know, I get that, because like there's a difference between, you know, like certain dead bodies are worse than others. By the way, for you listeners out there, just understand this is going to be a dead body episode. Like, by it inherently, we're talking to somebody from the coroner's office. It's going to get fun. It's going to get nautical up in this bitch today. We might be talking about some real gross stuff.
Right. But so either deal with it or don't, but we're talking.
There's a disclaimer at the beginning of every episode. Also, don't judge us if you've never had to work with dead people.
Please.
You don't know.
No.
All right. So you're here. You've been doing this now for almost a year. And do you enjoy it? Obviously, you said it's more exciting, so you enjoy it more than.
Yeah. I love it. Yeah. Well, and speaking of, you know, I got thrown in right when COVID started, basically. Like, it was a shit show. So it was like a really, really exciting time to join the coroner's office with all this shenanigans going on and everyone, you know, dying from COVID and whatever.
A guy comes in with his head canoed open, but oh, it's COVID.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, but he had COVID too. Oh, okay. So speaking of COVID, thankfully for my job, I found out I had COVID through doing my job, and I'll explain that. I got COVID back in like January, and I had this call where this guy was in his car for, they said, weeks, and they said severely decomposed, porter, car, transient, whatever. So we show up, and yeah, of course, we open the door and everything falls out, like all of his stuff that he had in there. But the guy is like, super slimy, maggots everywhere, just unrecognizable, bloated, just green, black, whatever. And so we get our stuff ready and I attempt to pull him out of the car. And while I pull him out of the car, his scalp like sticks to the back of the seat and his hair stays there. So it just pulls off his hair.
Chuck's he's already backing like, away from the
yeah,
microphone.
He's got, is so gnarly. And I'm still training at this point, but I'm doing everything myself. And like all the law enforcement guys and my training officer, everyone's like, oh, like I hear the gags going. I hear like people are stepping away and I'm like handling this guy like, okay, I'm just doing my job, whatever. And I'm like, I'm noticing that everyone's having a problem with like the smell. And I'm like thinking to myself, oh shit. And I go to my partner and I said, does he smell? And he's like, yeah. And I go, oh, fuck, we got to go. We got to go test right now. Like, I need to go test. So we pack him up. We load him in my van. We literally go to a walk-up testing site with the homie in my car. And they did a quick swab of whatever, my mouth. And I continued my shift like nothing. I woke up the next morning and got a positive test result texted to my phone. And I'm like, I knew it. I couldn't smell that guy. So that's a funny story that I'll never forget of how I found out.
COVID diagnosis I've ever heard.
Yeah, it was.
Wait, why is everybody so grossed out? Does this dead body smell? Yes, yeah. It smells really bad. I might have a sickness.
I was like, oh, maybe I'm a G. Like, I'm handling this cool. Like, you know, but no, I just couldn't smell.
That's crazy.
Wow. I mean, it was a blessing for you, I guess, if it smelled that
bad. Yeah, it actually worked in my favor. Yeah, I was like, this could be good for me.
And not to mention the nice 2 weeks off you get.
I got 10 days off, and when I returned, my smell was back, so...
So it's back 100% now?
Oh yeah, it came back like 4 days later, my smell and taste.
Yeah, mine was only gone for about a week.
I never lost smell or taste.
My taste, I didn't lose it completely, but I've talked about this on the show. I only lost it for certain flavors. So like
I've heard that.
I ate like a dark chocolate mint candy, and I could taste the mint, but I couldn't taste the chocolate, so it was like
Weird.
Yeah, it was just like mint in wax because wax has no taste.
Ew. Yeah.
It was gross.
Weird.
Anyway.
Weird.
Very weird. Mm-hmm. If I ate a cheeseburger, I could only taste the ketchup. I couldn't taste the burger or the bun or the mustard.
Oh, damn.
Yeah. It was very weird.
Yeah.
It's weird.
Yeah. It was pretty strange. Anyway.
I just couldn't breathe.
Well, yeah. That's why.
Yeah,
that's
that'll get you.
So okay, so is that like your trial by fire? You were still in training when that happened?
Yeah, I was like just at the end of my training. I was almost done, but yeah, I got interrupted with that. So,
and in your, would you say in your first 8 months you've, you know, kind of been around the block already and seen?
I feel like now it's starting to be like I feel like they're all the same now. But when I like, if I talk to my friends or family about them, I soon realize that these are still crazy stories, or it's not normal to see what I see, but I just feel like it is. Like, I feel like, oh, this is boring. No one's going to want to know. Like, I just did this or I picked up this, but right. I guess it is, you know? So yeah, that's kind of what I'm realizing.
How are they about it? How is your family about it? Are they curious or?
Oh, they're so supportive. They love it. They always ask. You know, I talk to my dad all the time, my husband, like, they're always like really proud and like wanting to know like what I saw today. And, you know, some days it's not anything, it's boring, but other days I've got some stories for sure.
Now, on the average day, how many bodies would you say you have to scoop up?
So myself, probably around 3 to 4 in a shift, a 10-hour shift. And keep in mind, we have to, you know, when we pick them up, we have to go back and we have to process them. So meaning like we have to take their height and weight. We have to break the rigor to take their fingerprints. We have to store them, make tags for them. We have to do all that for all the bodies that we pick up. So it could get, you know, it takes a while for each body, depending on where we get them.
Well, so yeah. So I guess that's a good place to start. Talk us through what it is. Like, how does just one cycle go for you when you get the call? Are you, you know, just sitting in your office doing paperwork? I imagine you don't get much time to sit around to do nothing.
No, we're always doing something. But we're at our headquarters, our office, and we're hanging out. And then, you know, boom, one or two calls can come in at once. And then we kind of just take our van and we go there. We meet an investigator there and we do the body exam there on the scene. We recover them, the bodies, put them in our van, and we take them back. And sometimes while we're on our way back, we get another call in the field. We got to go. My van only holds 2 people. But I've had 4 or 5 people in my van before. So you can imagine what I got to do that.
It's like packing for the worst camping trip ever.
You know what the funny thing is that when I first spoke to this one coroner, it was I guess towards summertime almost, and he was bragging about how many people he could try to fit into his van in the one day, and before the smell got too bad.
I can see that. Yeah, it kind of feels good when you you accomplish that and you're able to put a lot of people in there.
Bending them like Tetris pieces.
In a weird way. Not like, I don't know. I know some people are probably going to be offended about this, but we got to stack them sometimes. We got to do what we got to do. It's really hard. Especially where my little area is, West Side. But it's like, especially being female in this industry, you have to like prove yourself. You know, and I feel like constantly every day I'm proving myself, or I have to prove myself. So when I get like 3 or 4 bodies, I'm like, yep, let's go doing it, so that, you know, I don't get shit from all the guys at the office.
Well, so. You know, and I'm sure you're the kind of person where it's like, no, you don't have to slow down for me. Just do what we got to do.
Yep. Get to work.
Yeah. So that's the thing. At that point, when you see how, you know, bodies are handled, they're at this point, we look at them as just like they're meat sacks at that point. I get it. People are emotionally attached to them and we try to be respectful of that and all that kind of stuff. But some of the things we have to do by necessity aren't pretty.
And no, they're not. And you know, the people we pick up, for people that don't understand or don't even know, I'm sure there's some people that don't really realize, but when the coroner shows up at a scene, or when a coroner is picking up a body, it's because that body died like unnaturally, or got hit by a car, or shot themselves, or hung themselves, or got shot or stabbed. You know, these deaths aren't, you know,
right, they're not under a doctor's care.
Miss 85-year-old dying in her bed, and it's grandma, and we need to treat her very, you know, it's, of course, we treat all the bodies with respect and dignity, but we don't, we got to do our job. And sometimes it calls for things that aren't really okay in the public eye.
But. Yeah, it's kind of one of those things where it's like, hey, we understand you have to do this, just we don't want to see it.
Exactly. Yeah. So, and we're not a funeral home. Funeral homes, that's where you do all that fufu stuff. You know, make them pretty and you do all that stuff. But coroner, we have a job to do, especially where I work. It's very high volume. It's a lot. So
yeah,
like during the whole day, 24-hour shift or whatever, we bring in like over 40 bodies. Like it's insane. Yeah.
That's a lot.
It's a lot. And this is not, I'm not talking COVID. I'm talking just regular caseload. Like it's crazy.
And so that should tell you something too, because that's not including the people that the mortuary can come out and get at hospitals or hospice or, you know, or grandma. That's just like unknown circumstances or crazy accidents, you know, things where there's something to be investigated. That's not, you know, 88-year-old cancer patient type stuff. So that should give you an idea of how, I guess, prevalent or how big that job can be.
Yeah. My favorite thing when we go on scene, my favorite thing that people say, and I say this all the time, you know, nosy neighbors or whatever, they go and they go, oh my gosh, is everything okay? Like, you know, they see me standing there with the gurney and I look at them, I'm like, no, not if I'm here. Like, it's not okay. No, it's not.
Someone's dead.
It's just like, yeah.
Well, that's a pretty dumb fucking question when you see the meat wagon. Yeah,
they
always do that.
They say, is there a dead body in there? I'm like, no, just like five.
No, we just misspelled caterer.
Exactly.
People do ask the dumbest questions. I would show my tattoos on my forearms and they'd be like, I didn't know cops were allowed to have tattoos. And I'd look down at my arms and then I'd fake shock and be all, oh my gosh, I'm in so much trouble.
Yep.
You're allowed to show them questions.
Yeah, I was. That. I was grandfathered in. So the floor is yours, I guess. What are your stories? I know you, in 8 months, I'm sure you've already got quite a few.
Yeah, I've got a few that stand out to me. I hear so many other stories that my coworkers, you know, have told me, and I'm waiting for my own to, like, you know, keep those for myself. But I'm only going to share things that, like, I personally experienced, because that's better anyway. One thing that's really popular where I work, in the area I work, is there's a lot of buildings, high buildings. Okay. So people are jumping off these buildings. Okay. So those ones are pretty exciting in the sense that we don't know how their body's going to look. And I'm always like, oh, hey, awesome jumper. Okay, 26.4, let's think. And I'm just like kind of like on my way there thinking of what I'm going to see.
Right, this one guy, prepare yourself for it.
Yeah, because we only get a little bit of a description on the sheet, on the call sheet. Sometimes they say body's intact. Sometimes they say, you know, body is not intact. And so we kind of just figure out what we're going to need as far as equipment. But this one call I went to was this young man was on shrooms, and he was paranoid and, you know, freaking out, and he decided to fly out the window. And he was on the 26th floor, and where he landed, he cleared a I don't know what you call, it's like a little platform where the pool is down there, like whatever that little area is.
Like a patio.
Yeah. Okay. He cleared this huge, I don't even know how many feet it was. It was insane. He cleared that and landed on the street, like on the sidewalk.
Was he aiming for the pool initially and missed?
No, because the pool is like off to the side. I just couldn't believe he cleared this thing. And we had to figure out which window he jumped from, because there's multiple windows open, you know, a balcony and a window that were open. And we figured out that he did it out of the window because there was a chair that he jumped off of. And then I was like, oh, he was wearing socks. Like, how did he get grip enough to like jump, you know, soar? Right. And he was a big dude too. And he like split his head was split a little bit, but not as much as you would imagine. But his legs were just completely like, he looked like a midget because he landed on his legs and it just shortened. Right. So he's laying there. It freaking broke his legs so short and just shoved them up his body.
Do you think he was trying to break his fall by landing
first?
I don't freaking know. I don't think he had any kind of, you know, plan. I honestly think he was like, thought he could fly.
Well, you did tripping. Say he was on shrooms.
Yeah. Yeah. His brother said that he got a call from him and he was on shrooms and he was scared. He's freaking out. And I just honestly think he flew. He just thought he was going to fly away or something.
Yeah, R. Kelly on his iPod going, he just went for it.
Yeah, it was, that was pretty gnarly. Yeah. Yeah. So that was a good one. I had a charred body. My first charred body was on a freeway, like the 60 freeway or something, somewhere in the West Side, West Coast. and this guy was completely charred, but stuck to his car, like the seat. That's the one time we had to call fire out when they had already left. Cause they already put out the fire and they left. Well, he was totally melted to the seat. We needed their tools to like cut him off of the seat. So that was cool for me because I got to see all that. And plus you got to stop all this traffic. We're in the middle of the freeway and that's also cool. And then when we pull the body off, it's just like, I don't know. It's like, and you know what? The funny thing is, it charred bodies don't even smell bad. It literally smells like freaking like chicken or, you know, barbecue. It's actually not bad.
Burnt flesh.
It's like, I was like thinking to myself, like, oh my God, am I weird? Like, but no, I'm like, this is actually not bad. I can see cannibalism, but obviously, you know, don't take that like,
no, but
literally, but you know what I mean?
Rotting body and a burning body.
Ew,
yes. I'll take the burning body over the rotting body.
You're like, I should go for some ribs right now.
Right. And so yeah, that's the thing. Like, I think people misconstrue what you're saying is that in the grand scheme of smells, burning is not as bad as rotting or.
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
No, not at all. It smells just like regular burning meat. I mean, that's what we're made of. We're made of meat.
It's yeah. There's no way crazy around that.
Nope. Yeah.
So I can't. So. Would you have the fire department cut them out? Did you take out the whole seat or do they use knives?
They use the jaws of life first to get the door open, which I don't know why they didn't do that at first, but because the door was completely melted, like there were no handles, we couldn't open the door. So they did the jaws of life for the door. And then they did like some, I don't know, some crazy saw tool to cut, like, to separate his skin with the feet and his foot to separate that from, like, the floor mat that he had been burned to, or, like, you know, stuck to. And then once they did that, they didn't touch the body. I did it, but they freed him so that I can pull him out. So that was good.
I was always glad I wasn't the one pulling the bodies out of those kinds of things. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to lie. I was always glad. I had a mentor of mine. He went to a traffic collision, and a kid had veered off the side of the road and was hitting pickets, you know, like on the picket fence, and the pickets were coming up, you know, from the hood of the car, and one of the pickets went right through the windshield and split his head open. And so, you know, he had a picket right between the eyes. And so he goes up to check his pulse, because, you know, you get there, you have to check the pulse, even though they're obviously dead. But as soon as he goes to check the pulse, the kid, his head pops up and his eyes pop open. And he just starts going, like,
oh, fuck.
Like, and he's zombie, you know, kind of. And kid was in the death throes. Like, he was dying, and but he had enough to gasp one last time. You know, I remember hearing stories like that when I first came on the job from guys that I looked up to and respected, and they were like, yeah, that freaked me the fuck out.
So
to, like, actually go into Crispy Critters or, you know, Man versus Train and stuff like that, not being the guy that had to pick it up was always better than being the guy that had to pick it up.
I can see that too.
Being a training officer is better when you have a trainee, because you're like, okay, go get it.
Yeah, you got to do that. Yep.
Oh no. So, Jane Doe, in your time on doing this, mm-hmm. what do you think is worse? Severely decomp body, burning body, a jumper, or a train victim, or getting blown apart by a car?
No, I'll go one better.
Oh, also, gosh, it's so many waterlogged. Oh, okay. Okay, so when you say decomp bodies, there's so many phases to decomps. So it's kind of hard to pinpoint. They're all bad, but sometimes they're not bad, because if they're so decomposed, they almost, if they're past the point of the slippery maggot bloating, they turn into jerky, and they like shrivel up, and that's like,
you gotta think of the decomp like a bell curve. Like, there's an easy part where it's not too bad, and there's an end part where it's really not bad at all, but there's this, like, really terrible middle where
terrible middle, and it happens right now in summer. It's we're getting them all the time. It's disgusting.
Let's go terrible middle. You got the bloat, you got the skin sloughing off,
but I would still say somebody that's waterlogged or in a full, like, thing of a, like, bathtub. I've had really hard bathtub removals, and, like, they're just a bunch of poop and pee in there, and the water is just brown, and they're slippery, and their skin's coming off, and it's nasty, and you're worried about, fuck, am I gonna get splashed right now? Like, you know, you gotta use, like, ropes, and, you know, and it stinks. It's now, just,
and get the bunny suit and the goggles and the mat? Like, do you suit up?
I have put on, like, an apron and, like, the long sleeves to cover. And then I've had my glasses on, like, clear glasses. I put booties on for really bad decomps too. So, but yeah, with the bathtubs, I, like, when there's still water in there, I'm like, man, why couldn't somebody drain this thing? And, like, sometimes that's what the first thing I'll look for is, like, to stick a stick or try to pull the drain wherever it is, but because that's easier to get the water out.
Yeah, get the water out a little bit first instead of having
But sometimes it's impossible, like, to do that because you don't know.
Right, because it's clogged.
It's clogged. You don't know what. Yeah.
With skin. Ugh, meat.
Ugh. It's gross. The easiest ones I have is hangers, believe it or not. Because I cut those things down with my own little pink Benchmade that I have that my husband got me. And I put the gurney right up under them. Like,
here's a pink knife so you can cut down suicides.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
So I put the gurney right underneath them. Like, I push their legs up to where they're kind of hanging on it. And then I cut it down and they just flop right on there. So those are the easy ones.
Yeah, bloated. I've talked to many guys, and we didn't have a lot of them because we didn't have a lake or anything like where I was a cop. So we got some bloated bodies, but typically we didn't find anything that, you know, was down in the river or down in the lake. But the sheriff's deputies that worked the lake, or, you know, occasionally you'd get somebody that had died in their hot tub and nobody had known.
You know,
that kind of stuff. That's where I realized, like, the bloat is probably, like, at the top level of no.
So, and I can always tell what level they're at when I see the call sheet and it says severely decomposed, weight about 300 pounds. And I'm like, nah. Yeah. I was like, okay, he's just bloated. No, I'm like, okay, he's just bloated. So I get there and I'm like, yep, I knew it. The body really is only 160 pounds. And it feels like 160, but it looks like 300 because it's bloated.
Yeah.
Oh no, it's scary to pop those things. You don't want that either.
We've had some coppers that have gone to those calls, and they went to go and like check the body, or they were walking in and they heard the psst of the gas leaking.
The gas. And then,
pow, pops. I'm like, I'm never fucking doing that. I will send a boot in. I am not doing. Fuck no. That is a hard.
We actually just had this conversation Friday evening where I was talking about the first time I remember a body farting on me because I had to move.
Ew, yeah. Whenever we turn the body over to like, you know, look at the back or do whatever we need to, oh, the smells that come out there, even just a regular fresh body is just foul. It's gross.
And then you get weird things like for opiate overdoses when you get the foam, you know, yeah. it just keeps leaking out, you know.
Yeah, every overdose, everyone has the same face. Like I could see like my coworkers bringing in bodies and I look at them, I'm like, oh, it's an overdose, huh? Because their face has the same like overdose look.
Right.
I don't know how to explain
like a fish
it.
Out of water,
like. They were all high.
So
as
obvious. Yeah, they went out like on a good one. I don't know.
Now, Jane Doe, let me ask you this question. Mm-hmm. I like saying that full name because it's just funny. Now, I went to a call one time and old lady had died and her husband had called it in, and it was a hoarding situation in the house in this like third story apartment. And we get there and we talk to the husband and we're like, okay, sir, so your wife has passed away. And he goes, yeah. He goes, I haven't been back in her room for a while. I don't know how long it's been because I can't get back there because, you know, I'm feeble and there's like a hoarding situation. It's like little paths. And she was this tiny little thing.
Oh, and I forgot to call when I first found out and I don't know how long it's been.
Well, he's like, I just haven't seen her. So I think she's dead. So we're like, okay, where's her fucking room? Yeah. So because he's like, I haven't seen her because I can't get back there because the pathway is too narrow. And I'm talking like old school hoarding where it's just stacks of fucking newspapers to the ceiling. And it's just like a straight pathway.
This makes me so sad.
It's horrible. Yeah. And so we get there and we're like, okay. He's like, it's back there. And so I have my belt on. I have my vest on. And I was a little thinner at the time because I was like probably like 180, 185, 190 crossfitting like crazy.
Yeah.
And so I'm scooting by and I'm having a hard time getting by. I was like, oh, there's no way this guy would be back there. So we walk in the back room and it's this king size bed with the sheets made. Everything was perfect on it. And there was this little old lady, probably about 3 feet long, just curled up in like a fetal position, maybe like 2.5 feet. Like she was tiny in the center of the bed. And I swear to, I was waiting for the smell and I didn't smell anything. So I was like, maybe she's not dead. Like maybe she's just not here. Maybe she left. We get back there and sure as shit, she's deader than her doornail. And she is just sitting back there in the middle of the bed. And she looks like a fucking mummy. Didn't smell.
Yeah,
nothing.
That's
like,
the best.
I could see the bone. Yep. Right. But like how long? Because I had no idea. He had no idea. And I still don't know to this day. How long do you think that person had been dead for?
So it's hard to tell, too, because if it's a little old lady and she already didn't have body fat on her when she died, then that could be that she could turn into that mummified state faster. But I would say probably past the 2 week mark, because around 2 weeks is when they're like, you know, a week to 2 weeks is when they get the very nasty, slippery, maggoty thing. Also, you have to take into consideration how hot was it in that apartment? Was the AC going? Was it not? That those also play a factor. So it's really hard to tell.
Barometric pressure.
Exactly. So, but if she was a tiny lady before, she could just she could turn into that. Like if she was like skin and bones before, she could turn into that state probably within like the third, fourth week.
So she had been back there for like a fucking month.
Yeah. That sounds about right, honestly, because.
But I mean, if that dude's old and he's, you know, who knows? They might have gone.
He doesn't know what time. Yeah.
I mean, and he did say like, she hasn't been eating much. I haven't really seen her eat. I'm like, well, that's probably because she's fucking dead.
Yeah. They're living separate lives.
Yeah. Really. He stays in the front. She stays in the back.
Right.
Because he can't get back there because of their hoarding. Right.
Exactly.
That's I don't
take care of your old people, hoarding. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, come on.
Like,
sad.
I see these old people, even my mother. My mother's in her early 70s, and I see her tendencies. Like, it's just, you know, she has emotional attachments to things that she's collected over the years.
Mm-hmm.
And I got a huge lesson when I moved everything out of state, because that was like, okay, I am never, ever collecting this much crap again.
Yeah.
You know, and so now I see my mom. I'm like, what are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with it?
Yeah.
And she's like, I could use it for this. I'm all, when? Tell me when. Tell me when you're going to do it. You tell me when you're going to make it into a quilt. If you tell
I'll
me,
I'll let
when
you keep it.
I'll let you keep it. But you have to tell me when. You have to have a plan for it. Well, you know, just someday. No, it's gone.
Nope.
The answer is Sunday. It's gone. Someday it's gone. Yep. Because that's hoarding 101. That's like stage one.
Yeah. It's pretty bad.
I mean, it's not quite keeping stacks of cash in newspapers hoarding, which that's crazy. But
that is.
Anyway.
Yeah.
So what's your worst one that you've been on so far? I'm kind of afraid to ask, but I have to. Like the one where you were like,
I don't know. The worst one, I feel like the guy in the car was a pretty bad one. Not only just because it was so gross and all the stuff that we had to deal with the hoarding in the car.
Oh, there was hoarding in the car too?
Yeah, that one that when I found out I had COVID, his whole car, he could barely fit in the front seat.
I'm sorry. I was thinking about the Crispy Critter. Yes, you're talking about the COVID one.
Yeah.
You got a pass on that one because you had no smell.
Yeah, but the visual was like making me like, what? The visual was just like, come on, this has to smell. What's happening?
Like that color of eggplant, like when they turn
purple. Yeah, yes, exactly. Yes. He was like almost black. Yeah.
Oh, it's
I think I don't know, the worst one to other people is like probably what like the most exciting or best one for me, right? Like, I mean, that's how I think about it. Or are you talking like the worst where I'm like, oh my God, I don't think I should do this anymore.
No, I guess maybe most interesting, the one that you were like, oh, this is some crazy shit. Like,
so a cool one that will always stick out to me is, again, was a jumper. And this guy jumped and landed on a concrete planter. So his head split completely vertically and his skull and everything. So his face and everything just split completely down the middle. Like I'd never seen anything like it. Yeah, I was like, this is gnarly. I'd never seen anything like it. And, you know, we try to get an identification picture as best we can. So like I was moving all of his, you know, face together and trying to hold it with his hoodie. I put his hoodie on and trying to push his head, you know, back together.
Pull the drawstrings, squeeze his face together.
His eye was like somewhere around here. So I had to like put my finger in and push his eye out.
Like back by her ear.
Yeah. But push his eye back out of his eyelid so that they could see, you know, what color his eyes were. And that was cool. So yeah, it's amazing how some people can do the same things. Like I've seen plenty of jumpers and they're all different outcomes. You think like people just go splat, right? But it's all different. Some people, there's like no trauma to their face or head. And some people, it's just their legs or it's crazy. Our bodies are so fragile, but yet so resilient at the same time. It's crazy.
It's interesting when you see like, you actually realize the kind of things that can just kill you, you know,
yeah,
instantly. But I guess what I'm now fascinated by, and Chuck, I mean, I just never thought that this many people were jumping off buildings. You know,
it's a lot. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
In any metropolitan area with skyscrapers or big apartment buildings, man,
that's all they're doing, jumping. And you know, a lot of people too, they're jumping in front of cars. Really? A ton of people. I just picked up one guy who was jumping in front of cars, and he missed the first one car, missed him the first time he tried it, because there was eyewitnesses saying like, oh, this is what he did. And then he jumped in front of another car, and then that car hit him and he died. There's people throwing themselves in front of trains all the time. Like mm-hmm. the one I sent you, that guy, he just rolled himself right off in there.
I'll admit. He did. That, like, if you're going to throw yourself in front of something, a train's probably the way to, I mean, that's instantaneous. The best. Like, there's no more you anymore. But
yeah. Oops. Sorry.
No, it's okay.
Okay.
I just, like, I don't know, man. I'm always terrified of, because I've heard the stories of the people that have survived, like, jumping off the Golden Gate Bridge.
Yeah, and I've heard that too.
Every single one of them, I from what I can tell, it's not an extensive study. It's just anecdotal evidence from reading these articles over the years. Every single person who has survived a jump says the instant they stepped off the ledge, the first thought that came to their mind was, what the fuck did I just do?
They regret it. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, I've read that too.
I'm in a peer support group, and we talk about these types of things, and it's crazy. And a lot of those people that have survived suicides, they all see the same thing. They're like, oh, fuck. This is a bad idea.
Oh my God.
Because they finally realize, like, when they actually do it, that they're like, no, this is not what I wanted. Mm-mm, nope. They have all these like flashbacks, and some of them survive.
Yeah.
But here's a crazy thing about how fragile and resilient your bodies are. It's three different scenarios. One, lady gets hit by a fucking train, by Metrolink. And you know those Metrolinks, they go pretty
fucking hauling ass.
They're hauling ass.
So this Metrolink was going, and this lady, this transient, I guess would you call her, has her headphones in, is walking on the fucking tracks. Well, she doesn't hear the train honk, honk, honk.
Yep.
Long story short, the train's breaking, but it's like, I can't stop because I'm a fucking train.
Yeah. Hits her.
She bounces, right? Falls onto the tracks, but just enough off of it to where the train keeps going and stops like 100 yards away from her, completely blocking all lanes of traffic on a north-south street. And so we're trying to beat feet over there just, you know, to kind of get a glimpse because we weren't the primary unit on it. And we finally get over there and we see FD working on it. And then we talk to the coppers who were primary on it. And they were like, dude, there was no trauma to her body other than the fact that her insides were fucking liquefied. They were jello. All her bones were just like just pressing down, but nothing was split open. And then a second one, which I worked, was a ped versus vehicle in the early mornings, and people have speed. So if you're trying to go somewhere early in the morning, you're tired, slow the fuck down if you're on a city street. This person was hauling ass. This transient was crossing the street at 0:30 in the morning and gets hit by a car. Then a second car runs her over.
Yeah.
And then a third car nails her. Two of the cars stopped. The first car that hit her kept going, the hit and run.
Yeah.
I remember getting to that scene, and we had to block off like a whole big block, like a major block, which has like five little small streets all in between it. And we had to try to block everything off. And all you see is bits and pieces of this person's body all over. So that's how fragile it is. And then another one where, and this wasn't my call, I just heard about it, was a guy wants to commit suicide, right? So he grabs a family member's shotgun, but he didn't know because he must not be a hunter or anything like that, but there was a choke on it. And the choke narrows the pellet spray. Well, it was so narrow that when he put it in his mouth and pulled the trigger, it blew off only part of his face, and he was still alive. And I saw the video.
Yeah.
He was still alive, holding his face together, groaning and he sat up, and holy shit, it looked like something out of like Alien versus Predator. Like, you know, Predator's face like opens up and does all this crazy shit.
Well,
only half his face opened up, and it was just like all hanging meat and like fucking whatever, no bone anymore. It's just gone. And he survived, but he only has, I think he survives. But it was like half his face was gone.
Yeah.
One of these days I'll have to tell you the story. It's an actual good war story for a full episode, but it was one of those times where you show up to a traffic collision and you have crazy injuries, but they survive. And I saw her years later after the accident, and you know, she recognized me and stuff like that. But
wow,
the same kind of thing you're talking. Yeah, same kind of thing you were talking about with, you know, the trauma to the face and stuff. We're just like, oh,
yeah,
whoa, dude. And you're in outside. You're going, yes, ma'am. You'll be fine. You're going to be fine. Exactly. And inside, you're going, holy shit.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. So it's, well, anyway, I appreciate you coming on. You're going to have to come back on again and tell us as you get some of these crazier ones. I, for one, listeners, I will tell you straight up that I didn't know this many people were throwing themselves off buildings and shit. I know, you know, I've been to plenty of suicides, but where I worked was very rural. Everybody had a gun. You know, we had people hang themselves. We had people throw themselves in front of trains, and we had people shoot themselves. That's really mm-hmm. a lot, the lion's share of what we had. We occasionally would have like a lady. This is the weirdest thing. Why do suicidal people do fucking weird shit, right? Like one guy put on his glasses and put in earplugs to shoot himself in the head. What the fuck, right? Like, I don't mind the bullet going into my brain, but I just don't want to hear it.
You know? Right, right.
Like, suicides do weird shit. But this woman, she did the typical death of a salesman, you know, hot tub time machine. She closed her car in her garage and turned on the engine. Only she took all her dogs in the car with her.
Oh, hell no. I cannot stand that when people like involve their pets. It makes me so mad.
And they do. They're like, oh, I'm too sad to live and I want you to go with me. It's like, think there's some sort of pharaoh that's going to get their pets in the afterlife or something. I don't know.
Oh, no. Mm-mm.
That's bad. But what's even worse is when they fucking take their kids with them.
Well,
talk about the kid thing. God.
No, we have episodes where we get a little bit, and even when I don't know that we've ever truly like delved deep into the kid thing, just because we talk about it here and there, but that's hard to talk about. And
I talked about
kind of one of those things you do it because you know it has to be done, but those will fuck you up.
Mm-hmm.
I talked about one kid that a while back ago,
yeah,
that I did CPR on, and that was rough.
Yeah. That is
okay.
So I know we always ask our listeners if they have somebody they wanted to dedicate the episode to, and Miss Jane Doe said she does not. So Chuck, I know you have.
Yes. Okay. So I have two of them. Okay. Pull it up. The first one, I took a photo of it because it was a text and it's too long to go back and find it. But so a listener that we are not a listener, but I guess a listener fan that we had on the actual show not too long ago. I believe when this one airs, it'll be two episodes ago. It's a firefighter. Mm-hmm. And he had a firefighter that he dedicated the episode in a neighboring county. Well, I've been in contact with him via text message. He sent me some photos that we posted on Instagram. And he was like, hey, I just wanted to let you know we lost another firefighter in the neighboring county. So this is it. This is Lower Marion Township Fire Department for immediate release. Bring this up. Dated and time of news release is July 24th, 2021 at 10 a.m. Date and time of incident was 7/24/2021, 0304. I'm not going to get into location of the incident, you know, for stuff like that, but is on Saturday, July 24th, 2021 at 0304, the Belmont Hills Fire Company and Galdwin Fire Company were dispatched to a vehicle accident with injuries on Interstate 76 westbound at mile marker 335 in Lower Marion Township at approximately 3:23 a.m. as units were preparing to leave the scene of the initial incident. An uninvolved vehicle struck three firefighters from the Belmont Hills Fire Company and one Pennsylvania State Trooper. Man, multiple EMS units were immediately requested to assist the injured first responders. One of the firefighters went into cardiac arrest at the scene and was transported by ground ambulance to the hospital. Sadly, firefighter Tom Royds and that's TOM Royds, ROYDS, passed away this morning. The other two injured firefighters were flown by Penn Star and Jeff Stat Medical helicopters to Penn Presbyterian Medical Center in West Philadelphia. These firefighters are currently in surgery. The Pennsylvania State Trooper was transported by was transported to Penn Presbyterian Medical Center by ground ambulance. So,
wow.
So, brothers. Yeah, firefighter Tom Royds, rest easy. We got it from here. And then, unfortunately, I think that day I got another one. And I'm going to pull that one up right now. Let me hold on. Primary. And this was a police officer that was sent in by a listener. And she said, hey, just for you guys' information, you know, we had a police officer in our neighboring county pass away. Indiana State Police, Bloomington District. It was a two-vehicle crash, claims the life of on-duty Deputy Monroe. A two-vehicle crash claims the life of on-duty Monroe County Sheriff Deputy. The circumstances surrounding the fatal vehicle crash that took the life of Monroe County Sheriff's Deputy James A. Driver on Monday, March 29th, 2021, remains under investigation. However, the following information has been made available for release. Indiana State Police have determined that Deputy Driver was wearing a seatbelt at the time of the crash. Due to the severity and extensive damage from the crash, Deputy Driver was ejected. Investigators are continuing to compile information and evidence from this event. At the time, there is no additional information to be released. So rest easy, brother. We have it from here. And that was Deputy James A. Driver.
Wow. And that's all within a day of each other that we got those notifications.
I got those notifications, but no, they didn't, but it was within like a day. Yeah.
So if you guys want to send stuff in, we'll be more than happy to dedicate episodes when our guests don't have somebody they want to dedicate it to. So rest easy, brothers. We got it from here. That's why we always say, Chuck, we're not, you know, we may not be on the same team, but we are all on the same side. And that goes for anybody that in public safety, whether you're a firefighter, you're a veteran, you're a cop, you're a nurse, you know, a coroner. You have to go out to some crazy situations, I'm sure. And guess what? People don't just like, oh, they're dead. The coroner's coming. I'm going to leave. No, there's family members.
No, I've been chased. My van's been chased. Yeah. I've been pushed.
We'll have to get into some of that, like some of the things that the living do. We'll have to come. Have you come back on?
I'll come back.
Just like what the crazy things that the living do when you're at the calls.
Okay. Yeah. That will be a good one.
That's also going to be insane. Yeah, for sure. All right. Well, again, Jane Doe, I appreciate you coming on. Chuck, do you have anything?
Yeah, if you guys want to get in contact with me to come on the show, you can email me at booking.warstories@gmail.com or go on the Instagram page and direct message, and I will send you the email right there. You can go on Facebook, do the same thing. Like and follow us on Instagram and Facebook. Also start following the YouTube because we're going to start coming out with more content there. And for those of you who paid attention and the two videos that I released regarding the giveaway, there was a hidden message within both of those, and it was the FAFO patch. And I'm looking to make it into a sticker as well. So if you don't know what we're talking about, go back and watch those videos and you will know. And the last video I released has the final product, the final rendering of what we're going to release. So stay on the lookout for that. And
Yeah, because we're going to make those available. If you heard our little mini episode opening up our Joe Mantegna little prizes that we got, a little care package he sent us, autographs for our parents, which was super nice of him, and the challenge coins he sent for us, which was super cool of him as well. You heard that we're going to be turning that FAFO 40 Mike defense round, what do they call it, a ballistic baton or a baton round?
A foam baton round.
Foam baton round. We turn that into the patch, and it says FAFO with the American flag on it. So look for that pre-order. It'll be on our website, www.warstoriesofficial.com. And that's also where we're going to be getting the new shirts once those are available. So check those out. Keep in touch. Get on the mailing list or just join the forums. You know, you can get the membership. Gives you access to the premium episodes that we're doing more and more of. Boys and girls, Drunk Star Wars might become a premium episode, but we'll see. It depends on what we decide to do with it. So anyway, Jane Doe, I appreciate you coming on, and we'll definitely
thanks for having me.
Yeah, and Chuck, for Chuck and I, until our next episode, come home with your shield or on it.